Like, I'm surprised we never had them on our money.
You know?
Because at one point, they were our money. And it turns out that mining company Anglo Gold Ashanti has sold the last of its South African businesses in a 4.4 billion rand transaction with Harmony. The deal announced this week brings to a close the long history the firm and its predecessors have had in South Africa. In fact, Anglo Gold has had its roots in multinational mining companies. Anglo American, started by Ernest Oppenheimer in 1917. At its prime, the company was one of the world's leading gold mines. Anglo American originally focused only on developing and expanding the country's East Rand gold lines, and saw massive expansion by tapping into the rich gold fields of the Vaal Reef and the Free State. It used to expand and diversify into several other fields over the course of its history. For example, in 1926, Anglo America became the single largest shareholder in diamond company De Beers, and Oppenheimer's later became chairperson of the company. 2 years later, the company established the procurement to Anglo American Platinum by partnering with Hans Marinsky, and by 1945, it has moved into the coal industry through acquiring of coal estates. Look at this. This company just grew strength to strength. In fact, in 1998, the company consolidated its interests in gold and uranium by forming Anglo Gold. Later that year, Anglo Gold became the first South African company to list on the New York Stock Exchange. It changed its name to Anglo Gold Ashanti after the 2004 merger with Ghanaian company Ashanti Goldfields. So that's where the company's name came from. Yeah. I just thought they were fans of R&B.
And they loved Ashanti.
In 2006, Anglo American began reducing its stake in Anglo Gold Ashanti, and by March 2009, the company had sold its remaining shares in Anglo Gold Ashanti, officially marking their exit from investing in gold. Now, 11 years later, Anglo Gold Ashanti has sold its last South African assets to Harmony Gold. Since taking control of the company in 2018, Chief Executive Officer Calvin Deschnitsky has shifted the company's focus towards profiting in mines in Australia, Ghana, and the Americas.
Sure. If only Harmony was South African based.
I mean, not only that, but a question that was posed in this article is why international miners are leaving SA. And it goes on to say that it was no surprise that Anglo Gold wanted to sell its South African mines, says Jean-Pierre Fuster, who is the CEO of Protea Capital Management. He says the company signaled its intention since last year. Fuster says the operational problems, particularly labor strikes and load shedding, have likely contributed to the decision, as has political risk.
You know, I think from a business point of view, one can actually understand their decision, because in the mining sector especially, they've got the same problem with his honorableness, Mr. Mantashe, the minister, who is still not allowing mining companies to generate their own power. South Africa is such an anomaly on the world stage, where you're running a business and you are not allowed to supply your own electricity, because they're saying we can supply our own electricity.
No, you can't.
And give us permission.
No, but you can't even supply us with electricity. You
know? Yeah, and they can't even supply anyone else, but they refuse to let mining supply their own power.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's actually an understandable decision, to be honest.
Look, you know, it expands on this, and it says, while talking of nationalization of mines has died down, SA's third mining charters, which requires 30% black ownership for companies, has applied for mining rights and has much stricter procurement rules. It's seen as a deterrent. Importantly, the proposed new chapter follows shortly after the previous one, and mining companies now want a guarantee that the new mining charter will be in place for at least a decade. SA's biggest gold producer at the moment, Sibanye-Stillwater, last year said that it was not expanding, it was not spending new capital for growing its SA operations, as the investment climate is not yet conducive to make decisions that require billions of rands. It's difficult to convince shareholders that South Africa's mining is an investment case. which the CEO told Bloomberg. Sibanye is now considering moving its primary listings offshore.
In fact,
they said over, you know, other national, other multinationals have exited South Africa for similar reasons. Gold Fields, which had been doing its business in South Africa since 1887, when it was formed by Cecil John Rhodes, has only one South African mine left, which is South Deep. 5 years ago, BHP Billiton, which was partially rooted in the companies formed in South Africa in 1895, spun off its South African company assets in a separate company called South 32. The Public Investment Corporation, the management of South African civil servants' pensions, remains one of the largest shareholders in Anglo Gold, which remains listed on the JSE. So there's been quite a few local companies that have decided, look, we've and international companies that have decided we've had enough and we're parting ways with you. Unfortunately, this was on the cards. If we can't supply power, if we can't create stability, if we're constantly riding the wave of people's fears by installing fears in investors by using words such as land expropriation, nationalization of banks, mines, and you know, having national facilities that are not running at a profit, such as SAA. We can add Gautrain to that list. Eskom is another one. Yeah. It will eventually scare off investors because people are not going to see a return on their money.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a radical economic transformation.
And you must understand, the mining sector is such a fragile one because when geologists and when the experts come in, they give you a time frame of a safety time where they say it is safe to mine in this area for 4 weeks. Before the soil becomes too dry or the conditions change or we've just altered it too much. Don't get me wrong, South Africa still has gold underground. It's just become too expensive to get it, which is why we have left it.
And also that's why we have Zamazamas as well. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You know, those closed down mines. Gold is always going to be there. Platinum is always going to be there. But now we are turning into criminals by doing the Zamazama route as well, but also we need to put food on the table as well.
I think what we need to realize as a country is that the world has moved on from us. We're not as amazing as we think we are. We have this thing of, oh, we have a quarter or a third of what, three-thirds or three-quarters of the world's platinum, but the other quarter is somewhere else, and it's probably cheaper or easier to mine it from that other place or those other places. We're not as amazing as we think we are.
You know, yesterday, interesting enough, I had a conversation with someone who was at school with me. He was my junior, I think, by a year. And we had been conversing on Facebook and Instagram, and I saw he had been moved up to MD of a major company in South Africa. And they fly all over Africa, and they audit companies, and that's his primary work. And he saw that I travel, you know, out of the country very frequently. And he said to me one thing. He says, you know what, Nick? He says, you probably have seen this. And he says, you do not believe the arrogance that we as South Africans have. He says, and when we go to other countries and when we see how hard they work and how little infrastructure they have, but their GDP shows a better growth than ours. And our infrastructure is easily 20, 30 years ahead of theirs. But we are behind them in terms of growth. It's a scary factor to consider. That if major investment companies are leaving, I don't think anybody has, you know, I think when all of these foreign investors eventually leave, then you can nationalize the mines.
Because
there's no one to to pump money in them into them anymore. And then we'll see how profitable it is with certain labor laws, with certain restrictions, and how well mines run when there's no electricity being supplied. And if you are planning on buying a mine, I'd take some advice from Nadia Nakai and Seho. You might need more of this.